Sorry, I'm such a habit. Good morning, happy Sabbath. I'm so grateful that you are here today. I hope you're having a good new year so far. Has it been busy? Man, is it just going like crazy? There's so much going on. It's just sometimes a little overwhelming, but it's so grateful. I'm just so grateful we can come and slow down a little bit and worship our God, and that's why we're here today. If you're visiting with us, we are really grateful you're here. There's a communication card just in front of you. You can pull it out. And this is a way to communicate to us anything you have. With a church this size is so important, because if you have a special need, a special prayer request, you could put that down and slide that in the offering plate as it goes by when they take up the offering. In our call to worship, I was just thinking about one of my favorite passages. It's in Isaiah 55. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the water. You have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy milk and wine without money, without price." It says, "Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your labor for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good." And then later on, it says, "Seek the Lord with all your heart." He says, "Seek me and find me. You search me all your heart." And today, I don't know about you, but after kind of a busy, stressful, hard week, it's good to come and know that we can have our hearts satisfied today as we worship our God Jesus today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here in your presence on this Sabbath. And Lord, we just pray for a special blessing now on each one of us. Our hearts are open and receptive to you. We come thirsty and hungry for more of you. And may you quench that thirst and that hunger today. May we encounter Jesus as we worship, and may you accept our worship today in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all stand with me as we sing.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For ho, the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are his now serve him, against unnumbered foes, let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long, and hark the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Please be seated and continue singing with us.
Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our voice toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise merciful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
We serve a wonderful and most generous God. During this offering time, let me share with you what you and I know about God, finances, and offering. First, God is not a taskmaster. He doesn't ask of you what you can't give. Second, he tells us that the tithe is his. Third, he tells us that he loves a cheerful giver. And fourth, it's not the amount you give, it's the motive behind it. Remember the story of the widow's mite is more worth a value than the Pharisees' tenfold tithe giving. And fifth, he promises that if you are faithful with your tithe and offering, he will bless you. And you know, when you write your tithe, it is a blessing. It tells you have a job or finances coming. We give about $1 million tithe a year from my church, not only to supply to help pay for our ministers, but for other churches around the world. What a blessing it is. Secondly, when you give your check to the church budget, about $250,000, and without it, it would be very difficult to run our schools. That's our legacy. It's in our schools that we are going to see our future teachers, nurses, and ministers, and doctors. So as we give, let's thank God for the blessings you've given to us. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good God you are. And this day, as we present this our tithe and offering, we ask you'll accept it and may it go for your work. For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for me as made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Are you glad this morning? Has he made you glad? Hey, a new year, 2010. Wow. 10 years ago, Y2K. Can you remember back about all the concerns about Y2K? You think about Y2K, where you think of that, man, Y2K, all these uncertainties. When will the Lord be coming? Man, he must be coming soon. You know, next to the last verse in the Bible is in the book of Revelation, and it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he says, yes, I am coming quickly. And it makes me think of what Paul says in Romans 13:11. He says, We are closer now than when we first believed. Another year has gone by. We're closer now to that time when he will come. He promised his disciples, hey, I'm leaving, but I am coming back to get you so that you'll be with me forever. We look forward to that day, and I invite you to think about that thing, those things in the new year, as you come up with your concerns, and I invite you to, those who have concerns or praises for God, that they come forward at this time as we sing.
Father, make us one. Father, make us one. That the world will know thou hast sent thy Son.
I invite you to kneel with me as we pray. Father God, we just stand amazed at what a God you are. You're a God who spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. You're the God of Moses who parted the Red Sea, gave manna for 40 years, stopped the Jordan, and led them into Canaan. You're the God of Jesus who gave him the power to heal the lame, give sight to the blind, open the ears of the deaf, and even raise the dead. And you're the God of the apostles who gave your spirit to them on Pentecost so that 3,000 were baptized in a day. Yes, God, you are a mighty, awesome God, and we just praise you this morning that we can come before you. Father, we confess that we are not worthy, that we are sinners and we are in need of your grace. We pray that you will forgive us this day again and lead us to follow you more closely. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have given us. We thank you most of all for the grace you poured out on us at the cross of Calvary through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for our families and for our friends. We thank you for our church. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us ministry so that we can grow up with you. We pray, Lord, this morning that you will give us the desires of our heart. You said you would. We want to remember the people who have come forward this morning. Some have praises, some have burdens. Lord, you know what they are, and we pray that you will work mightily on their behalf. We want to think of the people on our prayer list in our church. I want to especially lift up the name of Zach Irwin again. He's been very ill. He's still very ill, but he's making some progress. We thank you for that. Lord, in all the behalf of all of them, we pray that you'll work mightily according to your wisdom, your will, and your power. I want to remember our speaker this morning, that your spirit will be upon him and open our hearts, Lord, so that we can receive your message. Your military, our military and our country and our leaders, Lord, I just want to remember that we live in the last days, and you've said there will be perilous times. Give them wisdom. We pray for their safety. And Lord, we take courage in the fact that we are nearer now than when we first believed. One other group I want to remember, Lord, is those who have lost loved ones in the last year. Just pray that you will comfort them, make us to reach out to them and be your arms and hug them and hold them and strengthen them. Give them courage. We look forward to that day when Jesus will come again. We trust in his name and ask these things in his name. And amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And this child that you are holding is the great I Am.
Thanks, Garrett. That was beautiful. Thank you. There's a lot going on in our church, and I'm excited about this new year. God is working, but there's a lot of things going on. I just want to remind, I don't know if it was mentioned, but our Daniel Seminar starts next Sabbath afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll be in the fellowship hall. I want to stress to you, I've done this a long time, and this is a great opportunity to invite a friend. It's very non-threatening. There's no pressure. It's non-doctrinal. It's they come, we go chapter by chapter, the book of Daniel. It's an intensive on purpose. It's only 2 weekends. And so we start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We do a couple sessions. We have a meal for them. So they come, and then we have another session. And you guys are home by 7 o'clock in the evening. You still have a chance to be with your family and so on. So it's, and then a Sunday, the same thing. So it's 2 weekends in a row. And so it's an opportunity to be praying and thinking and inviting a friend. And I hope you'll take the opportunity. Brochures are going out, so be praying for that as well. The small groups start this week. Stephanie brought it up. Half the group wasn't here. So small groups start this week again. Again, we're going to the stories of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, if you were not part of a small group, think about it. Pray about it. Every one of us needs to be connected to one another in a small group. And it's just a great way to grow. And so think about that. We have sign-ups out there in the lobby. And then again, it's been mentioned, but I want to put my 2 cents for CHIP. I had never been to CHIP. I went to quite a few last year, and it's just a tremendous opportunity. I'm struggling with this guy, this one guy, and I didn't tell you, George and Irma, but I got this guy I'm working with. He's 7. He's got diabetes. He's not doing well. He's got bad health, and he's helping with this little building thing. And I looked at him. I said, I got the program for you, CHIP, man. And he's really interested. He'll be praying for me. I'm trying to get this guy to come because he really needs it. But it's another opportunity to make a difference, to invite somebody to come and find Christ. That's the entering wedge to find Jesus in their life. So that's coming. And one more thing. We got prayer time and Sabbath morning at 8:45. You're saying, I can't even get here by 9:30. What are you talking about? But 8:45, we meet right over here in our young adults room. And Judy and George and us, and there's a few of us, but if you have a burden for prayer, we need to be praying. If we are reaching out, whether it's service or sharing, whatever we're doing, we need to be praying earnestly for God's Spirit. Nothing happens without God, without us praying and the Spirit of God coming. So that's happening as well. And I just want to just give a little praise. Just got a call from Marcia this morning, Irwin, and Zach is actually turning the corner, which is praise the Lord for that. You know, 27 years, some of you don't know him, 27 years old. We didn't know if he's going to live. And he's turning the corner, and we're just praying. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. Not only God will heal him physically, but God will reach his heart for Jesus, okay? That's what I want to see happen in his life. And so a lot of good things happening. I want to introduce a speaker today. Grant Agajanayan. Did I do that okay? Something like that. I'm sure he's used to this American people trying to pronounce his last name. He is associate speaker for Assure Harvest Ministries, associated with the Adventist Media Center. And what is I love about his ministry and why I, when he called me up and contacted me and why I thought he should come is because of his ministry that they have for the Muslim world. And they have TV programs they're airing, they're putting together for the Muslim world, and they are reaching Muslims today for Christ. And it's powerful what God is doing through him and the others there. And I'm just so excited about their ministry. And we're going to have another opportunity to give, and I hope you'll be thinking about that, because we are hardly this great group of people, the Muslims. This is an opportunity. So I hope you really think about digging deep and giving to this ministry. And so, Grant, come and bless us today. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath to you. Urach Shabbat. How about Shabbat Shalom? My name is Grant Agajanayan, but for some of you, if you have a hard time to pronounce that last name, you can call me Johnson. How's that? A Sure Harvest ministry that I joined, I met a gentleman about 3 years ago, and we were thinking, what can we do with the gifts that God has given to us and the message? Between both of us, we speak six languages, and we began, actually, Gerald Babanijad, who is the gentleman I met, he said that I have this public access television going locally, and I have people that coming and studying already the Bible. So we prayed how we can expand that, and we thought about Hope Channel and 3ABN, how we can produce more programs and reach unreachable, because there are some segments in the world that our church has a hard time to penetrate, and Muslims are the biggest group that we have a hard time. So Gerald speaks Farsi, and as we were praying and thinking about this, we've got a call from CBN. You know the CBN, don't you? Christian Broadcast Network, 700 Club, and they ask us if we could produce programs in Farsi to broadcast to Iran and Middle East. We said, sure, we can. The only thing, don't preach about Sabbath. There are 27 more doctrines we can do. Do you think we took it? Yes. And we began the production, and Gerald is so gifted that he was producing, he was speaking, and having all these arrangements and contacts, and they began to broadcast the programs, and actually we have received the highest rating with CBN. They're broadcasting Three Angels' Message now, covering three-quarters of the globe. That includes the old 1040 windows. Middle East is completely covered with the programs in Farsi. Countries such as Afghanistan, Iran, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia. We are receiving hundreds and hundreds of calls from Muslims who, as they're watching the programs, they're calling us very briefly. They cannot stay on a line long time because they censored. And they're telling us that we love your program. We are becoming Christians. We believe in Christ. How can we know more about Christ? We want Bibles. But unfortunately, we cannot send the Bibles to them. The only thing we can do is to cater these programs to the Muslim world. And it is touching people's heart. And I was thinking, we have so many Bibles in our homes. And so many of us letting it sit on a shelf while people there in the Middle East, Muslims, willing to lose their lives just to get hold of the Bible. As we began to broadcast, we asked CBN how long would it take for us to begin to receive the calls. And they told us usually it takes from 3 to 6 months to get the response, for sure to be noticed. And guess when the first call came? Oh, your faith is rewarded. It is the first day. The first time we have aired the show, we have received a call, and this young woman was sobbing on the phone, telling that today she was ready to take her life. She prepared the instruments of the suicide. She said, I watched the program. The TV was on, your program came on, and after watching the program, I changed my mind. Please pray for me. And the title of the first show was, God Has a Plan for Your Life. CBN broadcasting us now for 18 months, about 17, 18 hours every week. You know how much we pay for it? Zero. 1 hour of broadcasting through CBN cost about $2,000. God is opening the doors through Angel's message to go abroad. And we asked Hope Channel, and they also stepped in, and they are broadcasting our programs as well. Today, it's about 22 hours every week. Muslims are bombarded with Three Angels' message. While we are sitting here today in the church, and before you hearing this report, if I would be you, I would thinking this way. The Muslim world is so huge. Billions of people, how are we going to reach them? There are so many people unreached, so I can sit in the church today and still have some few years to go, live a life of luxury and comfort and not think about the coming of Christ because these people are not evangelized yet. We can have peace and rejoice and enjoy the life that we have today. But I tell you one thing, the calls that are coming from Middle East, from Muslims, they are telling to us that we are seeing visions and dreams, angels appearing to us and giving us the Bible studies. If we will not preach to them, the angels of God are doing it now. Please don't think that there are many more years before Christ comes. For some of us, today and tomorrow may be the last day. But the reason why I'm saying this, the one reason why we are doing this, reaching out to Muslims, so how many of you have heard about the generation sustenance? A few hands went up. It takes increase in the nation 2.6% throughout the generation, for nation to sustain itself for the following generation. Do you know what is the increase, what is the percentage of generation sustenance in Europe today? In countries like Italy, it is 1.6% instead of 2.6%. In Germany, it is 1.4. In Denmark, it's less than 1%. Here in the United States, we have about 2.2%. Still not enough. Now, the increase in Islamic world, wherever they are, whether they are in the Middle East or in any European country or here, it is 8.6. Does it ring a bell where I'm going? In 1970, we had 100,000 Muslims in the United States. In a year of 2008, we had 9.7 million. Statistically, it's predicted that by 2020, we are going to have about 32 million Muslims in the United States. Do we have work to do? When are we going to do this work? In 2020 or today? So we have work. We have the work of evangelism, and that work needs to be done now. Even not now, yesterday. So, but the good news is that the work began, and it's not by our strength. Whatever we do, it just probably drop in the ocean. God Himself is involved in that. And the angels of God appearing and inspiring people. And as a result of the programs, now we have a first Farsi-speaking Adventist church in Southern California Conference, just started a few months ago in Canoga Park. So if you have any friends, Farsi-speaking friends in the area, please invite them. Come to us. And we also have a live show that is being aired once a week throughout the nation and Canada. And we are receiving calls, having this show. In fact, sometimes they're called so many that we cannot handle them. Anyway, I better stop now, because I can go on and on with the stories even and with the testimonies. But I've been told we need to finish at... Oh, hallelujah, grace is here. Anyway, I'd like to share with you today the Word of God. When I call Brent, one thing that still stands up in my mind, that Pastor Brent responded to this offer to come and to speak to you and to present a brief report about ministry, what we do, is the openness. And that actually captured my heart, and I was thinking, what can I present? And then, you know, first thing come to your mind where you go, where a pastor is so friendly and kind and nice and open, is to have the message that will please everyone. But I wouldn't be fair to God if I do that by pleasing you. I would rather please God and speak the Word of God. Would you agree with me that, with that? So, this morning, I'd like to share with you the story that is found in the Gospel of John. But how many of you like the stories? May I share with you one story before I begin the sermon? And that is about the young atheist in Russia who at age 20 was drafted to serve in Soviet Army. From the south part of Russia, they took him all the way to Siberia. And he spent there 2 years. The weather actually was so harsh that temperature was dropping to 40 below zero by Celsius. I'm still having a hard time with Fahrenheit, I'm sorry. But For those of you who do not know how cold it gets, if you would take the bottle of water and go outside and you just pour it on the ground, by the time the water would hit the ground, it will become ice. So this young man spent there 2 years, and as he came home, he came very sick. I would say ill. Spent 6 years in hospitals, and at the end of 6 years, doctors told him that he had 1 year to live. Imagine the thoughts in the mind of an atheist who doesn't have any hope, no knowledge of Jesus, no knowledge of God, has 1 year before him, and that 1 year is of suffering and pain. Fortunately, someone handed him the Bible. As he began to read the Word of God, he believed that there is a God. At the same time, the wife of this young man has found a book, a used book, called Ministry of Healing by the author Ellen G. White. And as they were reading the Bible and the Ministry of Healing and acting upon the health guidelines found in the Bible and in the Ministry of Healing book, a miracle took place. The health of this young man began to improve, and he was restored because he was acting upon what he found in the Bible. For 6 years, doctors couldn't do anything. The Word of God has done it. 22 years ago, that young man was given 1 year to live. By the grace of God only, he's standing before you today and he's talking to you. The Word of God is life-changing. I had the encounter with the Word of God. It has changed my life. Many people in the Old Testament and New Testament, the lives of people were changed through the Word of God. So today, I would like you to experience the Word of God. For that, we are going to go to 11th chapter of John, the Gospel of John. And this is the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Now, in chapter 10, Jesus told to the Jews that he is one with the Father. And Jews almost stoned him. So he goes away from Jerusalem beyond the Jordan River and stays there with his disciples. This was the same place where John the Baptist was baptizing at first. And that was the same spot where Joshua led Israelites through the Jordan River into the promised land. Now, in the time of Joshua and Moses, the Jews were hard to believe the Word of God. Now, God had to perform miracles for them to believe His Word. And now Jesus was about to cross the Jordan River again, go back to Judea to perform the greatest miracle of all so that the Jews could believe that He is the one who He claims to be. Are we different from the Jews of old? Do we have to see the miracles in order to believe and act upon the Word of God? We will see the miracles if we believe and act upon the Word of God. What do you say? So, while Jesus is away from Jerusalem, his friend Lazarus got sick. Now, the story of Lazarus took place in Bethany. Bethany was located about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. It was a countryside. It was surrounded by fruit groves, just as Lodi. And Martha, Mary, and Lazarus lived in Bethany. It is in their home that Jesus so often found rest. And it is in Bethany that Jesus was anointed for burial in the house of Simon the leper. In the same place where Jesus was raising a person from the dead, he is also anointed for burial, symbolically showing that he was about to switch places with sinful humanity that is so dear to him, to take upon himself our death. and to give us his life. And what kind of life did he offer to us? What kind of life did he offer to us? And what kind is the eternal life? A holy life. That is only life that can be eternal. And Jesus has offered to us his holy life. Now, in chapter 11, there are 5 points that I'd like to touch today. First point is coming from verse 4. If you don't have your Bibles, as my friend often says, you should repent. Please open up your Bibles, because it will not be my words that will do any good to you today. It will be the Word of God. Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 4, it reads, when Jesus heard that Lazarus is sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Point number one, the purpose of trials is to glorify God. And the trial here is sickness. It is serious sickness. It actually resulted in death. In verse 14, Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Take a look at verse 3. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Please notice that this trial, this sickness, happened to very close friends of Jesus. And if you are friends of Jesus, you are to experience some trials in your life. Verse 6. When he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Why did Jesus stay 2 more days in the place where he was while Lazarus, his close friend, is sick? He did not rush to Bethany. Jesus was not impulsive. He did not follow his feelings. He was led by God. Jesus knows that this sickness, this trial in the lives of his friends will glorify God. Now, how is God glorified through trials? Turn with me to the Epistle of James, chapter 1, please. Epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is maturity. Trials lead to maturity. We grow into his likeness. That's how God is glorified. Every circumstance in our life is caused or allowed by God. Nothing happens by accident. It can bring glory to God. And it is not the strength of the trial, but your attitude toward it that will glorify God. Consider it all joy, James said. And the pen of inspiration wrote in Desire of Ages, page 528, the following. To all who are reaching out to feel the guiding hand of God, the moment of greatest discouragement is the time when divine help is nearest. They will look back with thankfulness upon the darkest part of their way. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly. From every temptation and every trial, he will bring them with firmer faith and richer experience. Wow. We cannot become mature without trials. And God needs to prepare his friends for eternity. If you are a believer, nothing will ever happen by accident in your life. The Bible tells us that on account of Lazarus, many came to believe in Jesus. Are you going through trial now? What is your attitude toward it? Are you praising God for the opportunity to grow, to mature, to glorify God? Or we are like little children, crying, screaming, and kicking because it is not comfortable to be in this situation? Point number one, the purpose of trials is to glorify God. Amen? Look at verse 7. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Wow. Jesus is bold, fearless. He is courageous. Why? Look at verse 8. The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" You know what it means? What it means, stone. That means to kill you. And if the disciples are with Jesus, what's going to happen to them? So, they were afraid. They all were afraid. They were with Jesus for a long time. And they were afraid. What does it say to us? We may follow Jesus for years and end up in fear. In fear of telling the truth. In fear of standing for what is right. In fear of acting upon the Word of God, because it may bring undesirable consequences into our lives. Verses 9 and 10. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Point number two. God's children avoid being in darkness and stumbling because they have the light, Jesus Himself in them. Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. The light, the day, associates with the light. The disciples were failing to walk in the light that Jesus gave them in verse 4. God will be glorified. You don't have to be afraid and worry. You can have courage, boldness, be fearless. And if the disciples would walk in the light that Jesus gave them in verse 4, they would have boldness, courage, fearlessness, and peace. The reason we often do not have those attributes, it is because we do not walk in the light. For the disciples, the light was the spoken word of Jesus. For us, it is the written word of God. Look at verse 10. But if one walks in the light, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Night associates with the darkness. And if there is darkness in your life and you stumble, it is because the light is not in you. And Jesus declared that He is the light of this world. And if Jesus is in you, no matter how dark the world will get, you will not stumble. It will be Jesus in you who does not stumble. Is anyone sitting here today who can identify himself that he is in darkness and stumbling because the light is not in you? I have a good news for you. You actually can invite the light to come in, not tomorrow, not tonight, right now, and you will walk out from the church today having Jesus in you, and you will not stumble. Point number two, God's children avoid being in darkness and stumbling because they have the light, Jesus himself, in them. And if you have Jesus in you, you can be as bold and courageous as Jesus. Amen. Moving to our third point. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha believed in healing. She believed that Jesus could heal her brother. Most likely she has witnessed the healing power of Jesus. Verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Whatever you ask. In other words, she is saying, nothing is impossible with you. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And in verse 24, Martha is saying the following. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha boldly declared her confidence in the doctrine of resurrection. She is a good Seventh-day Adventist. She knows when. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, but not now. How many people do I know that believe that God can perform the miracle, but it cannot happen in my life? It can happen to somebody else. Or it may happen in my life, but not now. We're simply pushing away or into the future what God is willing to do for us now. Martha shared her doctrinal correctness with the life giver himself. She was simply giving him a little Bible study. And Jesus said to her, verse 25, I am the resurrection. Here's the radical statement for you. Resurrection is not an event. It is the person of Jesus Christ. And point number three, it is intimacy with Jesus rather than knowledge of the doctrine that brings eternal life into human soul. Jesus Christ is the life. He is eternal life. In 1st Epistle of John, chapter 1, he tells us that Jesus is that eternal life. And in chapter 5, John tells us that God has given us eternal life. And that life is in his Son. He who has the Son has what? Life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So if Jesus is in you, what do you have? You have eternal life. And if you are sitting here today and you are able to prove to me from the scriptures all our beautiful doctrines, but you do not know Jesus, you are losing your life. I'm going to tell you the story again. There was a black boatman. The story took place about over 100 years ago. He was taking across the large river a professor. The boatman was not educated. You could see how I'm struggling with English. This is my fourth language. Help me, God. And as they went half across the river, the professor asked the boatman, do you know anything about mathematics? And the bald man said, no, I don't know anything about it. And the professor shook his head and said, man, you just lost one third of your life not knowing about mathematics. And then he asked him another question, do you know anything about astronomy? And he said, no, I don't know anything about it. Professor, very disappointed, shook his head and said, you just lost two-thirds of your life not knowing about mathematics and astronomy. At that very moment, a large wave hit the boat and turned it over. As both of them were falling into the water, the professor, the boatman, shouted to the professor, do you know anything about swimming? And the professor shouted, cry out, grasping the air, no, I don't know anything about it. You just lost all of your life. My dear friends, we may have all the knowledge and education and degrees, but we even may know all the names of the stars in heaven, and including in Hollywood. But if we don't know Jesus, we are losing our lives. Please don't get me wrong. Education is important. Knowledge is important. The doctrines are very important, but they are not saving you. It is Jesus who saves you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is life of Jesus in you that saves you. Verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Point number four. You will never die if you are trusting in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Take a closer look at verse 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus speaks in verse 25 about the first death that every human being is dying. In verse 26, though, he speaks something very different. Take a look. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Just a few months ago, I lost my friend, Pastor Robinson. Some of you probably knew him. A godly man. The Bible says, if you live and believe in me, you will never die. Jesus speaks here about the second eternal death. Now, some of you may be sitting here today fearful of the judgment and the second death. I have a good news for you. Jesus said, you will never die the second death. Do you know why? Because it has fallen already on Jesus Christ. It is not in your future. Jesus was willing to lose his own existence to save you and me. He was not dying on a cross, just first regular death. He was dying a second death. He was taking upon himself the curse of God, that cup in a garden, that he was praying and trembling, Father, take it away from me. Yet he took it because he loved you that much. The Jews equated the death on the cross with hanging on a tree. For them, to hang on a tree, to die on a cross, it meant eternal life, second death. At the time of Jesus, the high priest was Caiaphas. Caiaphas belonged to the party of Sadducees. Now, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, as you know. And Jesus challenged their belief by raising people from the dead. And by raising people from the dead and telling them that he will rise again in 3 days, Sadducees became the most bitter enemies of Jesus. That's why they were rousing up the crowd to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And Jesus submitted to it because he loves you so much and me, even those who cried out, crucify him. They wanted Jesus to experience second eternal death, that the memory of him even would be forgotten. You know, in John 17:23, Jesus is praying to his Father, saying, Father, that they may know that you love them as you love me. I have read that verse so many times, and I tell you, I didn't hear that verse. Finally, it dawned on me. What Jesus is saying here is this. I'm paraphrasing. God the Father loves you not less than he loves Jesus Christ. When I've heard this, my eyes were filled with tears. In John 15, verse 9, Jesus is saying, just as much as the Father loves me, that much I love you. And let me just try to picture the love of God to you. When Jesus was on the cross, he was tempted 3 times. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself. Could Jesus do it? Yes, he could. But could he, by coming down from the cross and saving himself, save us also at the same time? No. He had to make a choice. What choice did he make? Now, before I go any farther, I meant to get the attention of young people. You might forget anything else, but you should remember this, because the life will throw at you a hard rocks. But if you hang on to this one single thing, you will cross the river with a smile on your face. So Jesus, on the cross, tempted 3 times, yet he chose to stay on the cross. Now, what does it tell you? Imagine yourself, you are 2,000 years ago, standing at the foot of the cross, and you're watching Jesus dying, bleeding, and he is looking at you. And he began to speak to you. What would be the last words of Jesus to you? Have you ever thought about this? What would be the last words of Jesus to you personally? One day it came to me. I've heard those words. They are addressed to me as well as to you. From the cross, the last words of Jesus are as following. Whoever you are, whatever is your background, whatever you have done in your life, it doesn't matter. I love you more than I love myself. Oh. Jesus loves me more than he loves himself. Me, a wretched man. Second death has fallen on Jesus Christ. It has been lifted up from you. It is not in your future. Are we dragging ourselves from the bed every morning, saying, oh, another day? Or we are praising him for another day of life, and other opportunities, and the life that we have in him? In Jesus, we have our death, our resurrection, and the life. If you have Jesus, you have it all. You already died. You have the resurrection. You have eternal life. God has accepted Jesus Christ and his death and his life as mine. Jesus died in my place, and now he is offering to me his life and to you as well. What kind of life is Jesus offering to you? Don't get stuck with eternal life. What kind of life eternal life is? Jesus has offered to us his holy life. And we are not to focus to be resurrected. We are to focus to have the resurrection in us. Now, Jesus wants to live in me and in you. He wants to be intimate with us so he can save us from sin. According to Matthew 1:21, salvation is a deliverance from sin. Unfortunately, many Christians today read their Bible in this passage that Jesus came to save us in our sins. If that's the version you are reading, I would strongly recommend you to change the version. Jesus came to save us from our sins. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus is standing at the door. He says, I'm standing at the door and knock. Whoever will open, I will come in. Another good news for you is that Jesus, as Ellen White said, has already lived in the human flesh that was degraded and weakened by sin for 4,000 years, and he lived the life of victory. He condemned sin in the flesh. He overcame sin in the flesh. And the reason he knocks at the door, he wants to come in, because he wants to repeat that experience in your life and in my life. Are we letting him to come in? And if we are letting him to come in, are we letting him as a visitor or as a residence? Ellen White said that there is no sin, neither inherited nor cultivated, that cannot be overcome. I can add, when Jesus is in you. You know, there is a very simple explanation why the Laodicean church is a lukewarm church. You can find this in this verse, Revelation 3:20. Very simple. Just let's open our eyes. Where is Jesus standing at this picture? Is he inside, on the inside of the door, or on the outside of the door? Revelation, the messages to the churches, speaks to him who overcomes. And the only way to be an overcomer, when Jesus will be inside, not the outside. Martha knows the doctrine, but still does not know Jesus as the resurrection. Is it possible that we may be sitting in the church every Sabbath, know all the doctrine, serving Jesus, but not knowing him, not having intimacy with him, that he can bring that joy, peace, resurrection, hope into our soul? Is it possible? Point number one, the purpose of trials is to glorify God. Point number two, God's children avoid being in darkness and stumbling because they have the light, Jesus himself, in them. Point number three, it is intimacy with Jesus rather than knowledge of the doctrine that brings eternal life into human soul. Point number four, you will never die if you are trusting in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 38, please. Then Jesus again, growing in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and stone laying against it. Wow, what a striking similarity with the tomb of Jesus. Verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Is there stone in your life that keeps you dead in sin? hear the words of Jesus. Take away the stone. We might be thinking, if the stone will be taken away, it may cause a big stink. But unless the stone is taken away, there is no evidence of resurrection. Verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Have you seen the glory of God? Every time someone is raised from the dead, God is glorified. Every time someone is raised from being dead in sin into a newness of life, God is glorified. I have seen the glory of God in the life of Edwin. I met Edwin last year. It was actually 2008. Time is flying. He came from Iran when he was a teenager. Graduated from the high school, from university, became very successful. He actually was a senior engineer of Intel Corporation. It's big. He shared with me that he had something in his life that he could not let it go. And one day, God had shown him vividly in the dream what he should do. And that stone in his life was he could not forgive people who hurt him. He was an honest man, but he could not let it go. And after seeing that dream, being in a mad pool, as he saw himself there, he came out of that pool and he read the dream that God wants me to let it go. He forgave every person who hurt him. A few days later, God brought him into my life. I've studied with Edwin. Out of all places, I took him to the sanctuary service, the Old Testament sanctuary, where every article, every service, everything points to Jesus Christ and his redemptive activity. As he saw the reality of sin and the solution of sin and the love of God that God is showing to him, every study I had with him, he was in tears. He was grasping the good news. His heart was so open, he was ready to be baptized. Doctors found out that he has a brain tumor. It was a cancer, spreading fast. He had a surgery, came back. Went through radiation, came back. Went through the second set of radiation, and he lost the battle. I came to the hospital at his last days. The last time when I came, I saw all women in the lobby while men was in the room. I knew what happened. I know the culture. As I came into the room, his father just began to cry on my shoulder. When I step aside to the bed of Edwin, a young man who was 200 pounds of weight became smaller than I. I was standing on one side of the bed, and the lifeless body of Edwin was between me and his brother, older brother Ramin. And he said, Grant, I was always afraid of dead people. I'm no longer afraid. He began to kiss his younger brother. I could not hold my tears. Then I just looked straight in his eyes. And I said, Ramin, I want to share with you what Edwin found. And his desire, strong desire to share this with his entire family and friends. And here's what he told me before he passed away. He said, Grant, if I would have two choices, two options in my life, one option would be to have a long life without any illness and not knowing what I have found. And the other option would be that I would know what I know and be in this condition, I would choose this. How is your faith today? His brother looked straight in my eyes and said, Grant, you are going to be a speaker in the funeral. I never done that. But I praise God, He gave me the message. I was just standing like this, and the casket was between audience and the podium. My church, which is Thousand Oaks Adventist Church, we provided the facility for the family, and we did not expect that many people. They came from all over the states. 350 people filled up the church, everyone in black. And one thing I was impressed, to lift up the cross, because Bible says the power is in the cross, not in anything else. And as I lift up Jesus and the cross of Christ, and where Edwin had his hope, people were coming to me after the service in tears and sharing that it went through my heart. Family was sharing with us. They were telling, many friends and relatives came to us and they're asking us, where is the Adventist church in our towns? That's the church we want to go. Just because one man took away the stone, even when he fell asleep, his family and friends were reached. Point number five, take away the stone, that you may go out from the church today having Jesus in you, being alive unto God. Point number five, take away the stone. Verse 43, let's move quickly. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. There is no reason for Lazarus to be dead and in the coffin, because Jesus was about to change places with Lazarus. In order to say to Lazarus, to you and to me, come forth, Jesus had to commit himself to go to the cross. Verse 44, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. In order to say unbind him, Jesus had to make a commitment to live a life of victory over sin so he can make it available to you and to me. Are you taking hold of that life? So, if you are sitting here today, some of you may find yourself that you are bound by sin, just as with grave clothes. Some of us today may be dead in sin, just as dead as Lazarus was dead. Change the name of Lazarus in this passage into your name and hear the words of Jesus. Come forth. Ellen White said in the Desire of Ages that if Jesus would not speak out his name, would not mention his name, that all the graves there would be open and dead would be risen. Because his word has authority. It's life-giving. It has power. And when Jesus speaks, something happens. And as the words of Jesus are sounding here today again, something is taking place. Do you believe this? So make it personal. Whoever you are, there might be a person sitting here today who needs to hear these words. Jesus, same Jesus who was hanging on a cross and tasting your second death, he's calling your name, telling, take away the stone. Come forth, unbind him and let him go. When God raises you, he also unbinds you from sin that entangled you. So, there are 5 points came out today. And if the word is touching you, if the Spirit is touching you today, it is only between you and God. It's not between you and your neighbor, between you and me. It is between you and God. This is your chance. This is your time to respond to the word of God. If you are going through trials today, and you are not benefiting from the trials, but now you want to change your attitude toward the trial so you can grow, mature, and to glorify God, this is your opportunity to respond to God and to say, yes, I want to glorify you even in the midst of my trials. If this point is touching you and speaking to you, I invite you, whoever you are, wherever you are, stand up. This is not a general call, please. It's not for the whole congregation. Those who hear the voice of God through the Scripture, this is for you. If you want to glorify God through trials, stand where you are. Praise God. God's children avoid being in darkness and stumbling. If there is a darkness in your life, and you want to invite light to come in and to eradicate that darkness, that you may walk out from the church today having Jesus in you and not stumbling. If that is your case, I invite you to stand. God is calling you. If so far you do not have that intimacy with Jesus, but you crave for that intimacy, and you want Him to come in, He is standing at the door and knock, and He wants to come in and to be intimate with you. If you want that intimacy more than anything else, stand where you are. He will come in. He is faithful. Now, so far, you were fearful of the judgment of the second death. But now you realize that your shame, your sins, your guilt, your judgment, and the second death has fallen on Jesus Christ. It is not in your future. And you want to praise God for it. I invite you to stand for Jesus. If you want to praise and to glorify God for what He has done for you, stand where you are. And finally, if there's any stone in anybody's life that you're bounded by sin, that it keeps you dead in sin, and you want it to be removed, please hear the words of Jesus. And if the stone is too big for you, by standing right now, you can ask Jesus to remove that stone. And He will remove the stone. He will unbind you. He will free you to grow into His likeness. Praise God. I want to invite Pastor Brent to pray for you. And if afterwards we can have the song also, please.
Let's pray. Lord, it's just been a great blessing to be here today, to hear You speaking through Grant to our hearts today, and we are moved, inspired today. Lord, we're tired of the lukewarm life, the profession of proclaiming and saying that we live for You, but our lives are different.
And God, we just want you to come and remove the stones today. We want you to come into our lives. We want intimacy. We want a new life, a new walk with you. We're so tired of being bound by things of this world. Help us to see. And God, today, do a miracle in each one of our hearts. Show us the miracles don't just happen back then, but they can happen today. And Lord, every one of us here needs a miracle. Wherever we are, maybe it's emotional struggles or financial difficulties, whatever it is, we need a miracle, Father. And so lay your hands on each one of us, Lord. Open our hearts. You can read our hearts today, and may we walk out of here determined to give our hearts fully and completely to you. Thank you for using Grant today. And Lord, I just want to lay my hand on this brother, because I know, Lord, he's been traveling. I know he's tired. But God, I pray you'll just lift him up, Lord, that you anoint him afresh with new power, new eyes and new visions, Lord. Thank you for using them. And just want to pray for a sure harvest and ministry. I just want to lift up that ministry to you. God, that you'll use this ministry, that you'll surprise even them of what you want to do through this great ministry, Father. And Lord, right now, you know, we have an opportunity to give to help this ministry. God, give us a heart to open up and give that this message and our message that you've entrusted to us might go to the world and these people that are lost without Jesus. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Yes, there's a song. Let's sing together. Come on up.
And after the song, if I can have 1 minute.
Sin, he has mercy.
mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home.
Please have seated. Be seated. Would be too much of honor for you to be standing. I wanted to make a little comment before you leave the sanctuary. It was in 1980s, one of the General Conference sessions, that they were discussing what else we can do so that our people would witness more effectively. And as they were discussing, an old professor stood up and said, "Brethren, we don't need to come up with anything else. If we will bring everything that we have now in our church, this auditorium will be filled with all that stuff. There's only one reason why our members do not witness." And he said the following: "It is because they are not sure about their own salvation." And I can identify myself with that. I was sitting in the church for years, knowing all the doctrines, knowing that this is the truth, this is the right church, but I was sitting with doubts in the church, thinking about myself: am I good enough? Will I make it to heaven? Why am I falling into the same sin all over again? I was in those shoes, and I'm sure some people here probably experiencing that same or have experienced. I was in that condition until I met a friend of mine. We became friends, and I went through the seminars. I've read his books. I've listened through his set of seminars. Some of you probably have heard of him, Bill Liversidge, Pastor Bill Liversidge. And that changed my life. I understood the gospel, the clarity of it, the good news of the gospel, and I could not hold it anymore. You don't find me in the church. Maybe once a month I'll be sitting to be fed, but I am no longer the same. The gospel changed me. And what we would like to offer for you today are the books, CDs, and sermons, and DVDs, in any form and shape that we have. You may sign your name and take whatever you want, but particular seminar that changed my life was Victory in Jesus. So if you feel the need that your life needs some spiritual boost, that you need to understand clearly the good news, and when you will not be able to contain it. You will be sharing this with every person you come across. So we'd like to offer that to you. You can just sign your name, take the material, what you want, and there will be also the envelope available for that. During the week, you can send suggested donation for those materials, and you will be blessed. By reading and listening to those materials, I can guarantee you a few things, that you will be assured that he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. You will understand the gospel in such a clarity that it will liberate you to live your life full of joy and peace to the glory of God. I know you will be blessed. So that's all I had to say for today. I know it's time to eat for some of you. So
we love it, don't we? This is wonderful. Just to give you an opportunity, there's going to be deacons at the door. This is to help with their ministry, the Sure Harvest Ministry. If you'd like to slip it in there and then drop it in the plate on the way by. Again, we need to have Grant back again sometime, don't we? Thank you, brother, for sharing. God bless you.
Praise God.
Give God the glory, praise God that you came and shared with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.